Welcome to the January 2025 News Bulletin podcast for yacht and small craft marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our first podcast of the year with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, Happy New Year and welcome to 2025. Let me start my first column of the new year on a slightly downbeat note by posing this question for your consideration: are we witnessing the death of indoor boat shows? A recent announcement confirming the cancellation of the Paris Boat Show scheduled for April 2025 is disappointing, especially as it comes hard on the heels of a similar decision made late last year to cancel Boat Life 2025 in the UK. The Fédération des Industries Nautiques, the French Federation for the Nautical Sector, made the announcement that the Nautic en Seine Boat Show will not take place. The Federation says the decision was made in light of current market conditions, which FIN believes no longer guarantees the full success of the show's first edition. FIN noted that the troubled project, which was postponed from its original October 2024 dates, was developed following extensive consultations in the first half of 2023. The show was originally conceived as a reinvention of the Nautic Paris Boat Show that was held indoors at the Porte de Versailles. This brings me on to Boat Life 2025, which was due to take place at the NEC, Birmingham, UK in February this year. Pendigo Events and the NEC Group were unable to maintain the momentum of the small indoor show, which had been a success in previous editions. The cancellation announcement of the event was made in a terse press release, with no explanation provided, as follows: Pendigo Events and the NEC Group would like to thank all those who were due to attend for their interest in and support of Boat Life 2025 and look forward to welcoming them to another show soon. And it seems that the Mighty Boot in Düsseldorf, still Europe's largest indoor show, is also facing challenges. The Hansa Group, local to the venue, announced that it would be attending the German show with a reduced team, exhibiting only the Fjord brand. Likewise, a number of cruising catamaran builders have announced that they will not be exhibiting boats at the boat show. Florida-based Ibex and METSTRADE in Amsterdam, both indoor shows, have reported excellent attendances in recent months. So, what is it that they appear to be doing right? Perhaps as more marine equipment-based trade exhibitions, they are immune. In my past life I ran big exhibitions, so I know a thing or two about them. I also know the angst one goes through having to cancel an event, so they have my sympathies. The revenue generated from selling stand space would ordinarily more than cover the setup and build costs of the event, whilst sponsorship and ticket sales from a public event would be the icing on the cake. So, if manufacturers cannot be persuaded to exhibit their boats, there can be no show. It is a sad state of affairs and one that can afflict all event organizers. Clearly, trading and market conditions are tough and finding new avenues and incentives to attract exhibitors is hard. Look what happened a few years ago when the once mighty London Boat Show finally collapsed. It was replaced over time by a handful of more targeted, niche events in the UK's capital. Perhaps the days of the big indoor boat shows really are numbered. The IIMS Safety and Loss Prevention Briefings Compendium. In my role, I am fortunate, if that is the right word, to see a continual stream of marine incidents and accidents news passing through my desk each and every day. They are of varying degrees of severity. Some are just a minor bump or simple grounding, others are far more dramatic involving multiple loss of life along with valuable marine assets too. This was my inspiration 4 years ago to launch the Safety and Loss Prevention Briefings Compendium. If you have not yet seen and read a copy, it is, as you can imagine, a tough read, but one that I think is essential for marine surveyors and others allied to our industry. So, it is with great pleasure that I can announce the launch edition 4 of the IIMS Safety and Loss Prevention Briefings Compendium. There is a wealth of safety briefings information, coupled with incident and accident reports as well as vital loss prevention guidance and advice from the leading P&I clubs. I thoroughly recommend this publication to you. The publication is available in downloadable PDF format or in online e-reader magazine format. The choice is yours, but I urge you to grab a copy. You can download the compendium through the IIMS website. Aims for 2025. So, what lies ahead and what can you expect from IIMS in 2025? I am tempted to say more of the same, but that sounds rather uninspiring. We are scoping out a number of training events, details of which will be forthcoming soon. I can also inform you that I am planning trips to New Zealand, Australia and Singapore with the intention of holding events in all three countries in July. Watch for more information, but my first overseas journey is to Hamilton, Ontario to join our colleagues and friends at the IIMS Canada 2025 conference, dinner and AGM on 27, the 28th of February. The local committee has lined up what looks to be two great days of conferencing that is open to face-to-face delegates as well as online attendees too. Members and non-members are welcome and encouraged to attend. Full details can be found at iimscanada.ca/events. Perhaps I will get to meet you at an IIMS event somewhere in the world this year, either in person or as a virtual delegate. Survey well, Mike. In our first story for 2025, the consultation for the UK merchant shipping, vessels in commercial use for sport or pleasure, regulations 2025 has now opened. The proposed new sport and pleasure code is one of the most significant new pieces of legislation to hit the UK statute book for many years and is long overdue. Consultation is now open, and you are encouraged to review the proposals and to have your say. The merchant shipping, vessels in commercial use for sport or pleasure, regulations 2025 will apply to vessels used commercially for sport or pleasure. The new regulations will apply to seagoing United Kingdom vessels wherever they may be and to other seagoing vessels operating from United Kingdom ports whilst in United Kingdom waters. The new regulations will revoke and replace the merchant shipping, vessels in commercial use for sport or pleasure, regulations 1998. The new regulations will give effect to two codes of practice, Part A of the REG Yacht Code for large vessels of 24 metres or more load line length and the new Sport or Pleasure Vessel Code for small vessels of less than 24 metres load line length. The new regulations will provide a more coherent legal framework for operators of large or small vessels operating commercially for sport or pleasure. Part A of the REG Yacht Code already has effect. The REG Yacht Code is not the subject of this consultation. However, the new regulations will continue to give effect to this code as well as set out comprehensive requirements for the survey and certification of large vessels. The new Sport or Pleasure Vessel Code reflects the development of standards since the publication of the previous editions, addresses a number of key Marine Accident Investigation Branch recommendations into improving safety standards for vessels in this sector and contains a regulatory framework for vessels using alternative fuel sources and propulsion types that will keep the UK at the forefront of decarbonising the shipping industry. The new regulations also make consequential amendments to other instruments to ensure that the requirements for vessels in commercial use for sport or pleasure apply consistently across the maritime regulatory framework. The consultation is open until 23:59 on the 25th of February 2025. You can view the consultation document at the IIMS website. For our second story, IBEX, the International Boat Builders Exhibition and Conference in the US, has acquired Professional Boat Builder magazine, ProBoat, for an undisclosed sum. Professional Boat Builder is a leading technical publication and online information source that focuses on materials, design, and construction techniques and repair solutions chosen by marine professionals. It has an audited circulation of 24,000 readers worldwide. According to a statement, the ProBoat purchase promises to marry the vitality of IBEX's live trade event to the magazine's depth of editorial coverage, creating a platform for technical education, professional development, and independent editorial exploration of defining industry trends. Together, they will offer a seamless integration of the live, in-person IBEX experience with the expert insights and technical expertise of Professional Boat Builder magazine. The combination builds on a history of partnership. The magazine's editorial staff has helped produce the technical seminar series at the show since its launch in 1992. This announcement assures the continuation of that collaboration and confirms IBEX's commitment to deliver indispensable technical and trade information for boat designers, builders, and service technicians whenever and wherever they need it. Next, the UK's MDL Marinas has announced the expansion of the 2025 South Coast and Green Tech Boat Show, taking place from the 9th to the 11th of May at Ocean Village Marina in Southampton. The event will feature an extended waterside area opposite the Banana Wharf restaurant, providing the perfect backdrop for a larger and more diverse fleet of boats. Taking place slightly later in the season to capture the warmer weather, the show will play host to a vast array of on-water and shoreside exhibitors, showcasing motorboats, sailing yachts, ribs, and the latest in electric and sustainable marine technologies. In our next report, La Bella Verde shines at first Sustainable Nautical Awards. La Bella Verde, a Spanish developer of eco-friendly catamarans, has confirmed its commitment to sustainability by winning two awards at the first Sustainable Nautical Awards Gala held at the Pompidou Museum in Malaga, Spain. The new awards scheme was organized by the National Association of Electric Boats, ANBE, this pioneering event in Spain, brings together the main players in the sustainable yachting sector, including experts in electric, hybrid and hydrogen technology, to reward efforts and advances towards more environmentally friendly navigation. During the gala, which was attended by prominent figures from the port and business fields, more than 20 awards were presented in various categories, recognizing shipyards, marinas and tourism companies. At the ceremony, La Bella Verde stood out by receiving two awards, one in the electric boat shipyards category, for its innovation and commitment to the development of sustainable boats, and another in the nautical tourism category. The latter relates to its electric catamaran operations in Malaga and its origins in Ibiza, which make it a leader in zero-emission nautical excursions. Up next, the Yacht Harbour Association, TYHA, the arm of British Marine which works in the marina sector and runs the 5 Gold Anchors Award accreditation scheme, is initiating an update of its code of practice which was originally created in 1977. Marina Projects Limited, headquartered at Swanwick Marina, has been appointed by TYHA to assist in the development of the updated code of practice. Since it came into being in 1977, a number of updates have been made, but it now requires modernizing to reflect its wider global use as the go-to reference for marina design, construction and operation. Up next, Granada Yachting Act set for a revision. In the 1990s, Granada passed the Yachting Act. The most recent iteration from 2000 is currently set to undergo a review with revisions to align with international maritime conventions, especially with regards to the environment. Granada's Yachting Act recognizes the popularity of its waters and facilities among both larger yachts and smaller craft. Over the years, it has simplified processes for arrivals clearance, for example, plus obtaining cruising licenses and chartering. Multiple departments within Granada's government are working on the Yachting Act revisions. They include the Ministry of Tourism, along with the Ministry overseeing economic development and marine resources. Jerry Ano, the ambassador for Granada's special envoy for oceans, is overseeing the process. He's tasked with closing loopholes in the current legislation. Additionally, he's ensuring that safety and security measures, sustainable yachting tourism, and environmental stewardship all meet the standards of other nations. The revisions of the Yachting Act will get underway this month. The government pledges stakeholder, which includes marinas, environmental agencies and the yachting community, input and transparency. In our next report, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has extended the deadline for vessels to comply with National Standard for Commercial Vessels, NSCV, Part 2 Standard for Weather-Tight and Watertight Integrity. From the 1st of September 2025, the NSCV C2 will become mandatory for all new domestic commercial vessels that have a requirement to comply with Marine Order 503. This standard aims to enhance safety by setting out clear standards for maintaining weather-tight and watertight integrity. The date has been extended to provide industry additional time to transition to the standard. Find out more at iimsaustralia.com.au. Next, IMPA study on remote pilotage. The International Maritime Pilots Association has partnered with the Canadian National Centre of Expertise on Maritime Pilotage and the Canadian Coast Guard to rigorously explore remote pilotage to ground truth its feasibility, readiness, and impacts on safe navigation practices and systems. Launched this summer, the study is specifically designed to deliver unbiased, science-based and authoritative insights into pilotage as a socio-technical system and the readiness, risks, impacts, benefits, opportunities, and prerequisites of remote pilotage. A crucial part of the work is to conduct trials which will take place over the next 2 years in 3 different ways to ensure a safe, thorough, yet scalable process for exploring remote pilotage in mandatory pilotage waters. The first series of trials will take place in a simulated environment where solutions are trialed onshore to assess their technical performance and whether they can achieve functional requirements for directing the navigation of ships in mandatory pilotage waters. The second series of trials would take place on board a Canadian Coast Guard vessel, which is not subjected to mandatory pilotage requirements, but that would operate in pilotage waters. The focus of these trials is to validate the technical and functional performance established in the simulated environment. The third and final series of trials are expected to take place in a near real-life environment, on board commercial ships operating in mandatory pilotage waters. This is the phase that will generate the insights into the readiness, risks, impacts, benefits, opportunities, and prerequisites of remote pilotage IMPA and its partners are looking for. Manufacturers and system integrators are invited to demonstrate how their solutions to remote piloting meet the needs of the end users, the maritime pilots. Details on the request for information process can be found on the IMPA website. Next up, the MCA publishes MGN for pre-registration surveys for fishing vessels. The UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency, MCA, has released an MGN giving guidance on pre-registration survey process for fishing vessels. The Code of Practice for the Safety of Small Fishing Vessels of less than 15 metres length overall and the accompanying MSN 1871 Amendment 2 allow vessels of less than 15 metres length overall, LOA, built before the 16th of July 2007 to be considered by the MCA for registration as fishing vessels. MGN 630 Amendment 4, F, Fishing Vessels, Pre-Registration Surveys for Fishing Vessels sets out the process in place to ensure the MCA is satisfied vessels are safe and suitable for commercial fishing. This note also states that existing vessels of 15 metres LOA to less than 24 metres registered length wishing to join the register may also, on a case-by-case basis, undergo the pre-registration survey, and the note sets out the processes in place for this. This amendment sets out a revision to the process by which pre-registration comparison reports will now be submitted by the fishing vessel certifying authority to the MCA Statutory Services Delivery Team. You can read the MGN in the news section of the IIMS website. For our next report, Hull Vane marks its 10th anniversary. Hull Vane BV, the Dutch developer of solutions to improve boat performance, onboard comfort or seakeeping, marked its 10th anniversary in 2024. In its first decade, Hull Vane sold almost 100 units, 60 on commercial and 40 on recreational craft. The Hull Vane has a peerless DNA. The vaunted Van Oosanen Naval Architects and Associates founded it as a standalone unit. It has patented the steel, aluminium or carbon foils below the waterline under the transom. Hull Vane says it cuts ship motions, making for a stable platform for crews to work and less seasickness, improving passengers' onboard experience. Reduced fuel use helps cut operational expenditures by between 5 and 15%. Also, fewer batteries are needed on electric vessels to produce the same range and top speed. Conversion to other fuel is made easier because of less vessel resistance. Next, the MCA releases MGN 599M Amendment 1M Pleasure Vessels. The Maritime and Coast Guard Agency has released a new MGN which provides guidance and best practice for pleasure vessels and general exemptions for Class 11 vessels. MGN 599M Amendment 1M Pleasure Vessels, Regulations and Exemptions provides guidance for pleasure vessels and has been developed in consultation with British Marine, Royal Yachting Association, and the Yacht Brokers, Designers and Surveyors Association. It introduces the concept of intended pleasure vessels, includes a new exemption from fire extinguishing regulations on close down, provides an amended exemption with phase out of ORC life rafts for Class 12 vessels, and includes the existing exemption from Class 12 fire protection regulations. It includes the following details and guidance on disapplication and exemptions from merchant shipping regulations. Annex 1, exemption for pleasure vessels of 13.7 metres or over from the Merchant Shipping Life-Saving Appliances Regulations. Annex 2, exemption for pleasure vessels of 13.7 metres or over from certain provisions of the Merchant Shipping Fire Protection, Small Ships Regulations. Annex 3, exemption for pleasure vessels of 13.7 metres or over from sections of Regulation 38 of the Merchant Shipping Fire Protection, Small Ships Regulations. Read the guidance on the IIMS website. Now for another story from the International Maritime Pilots Association, which has revealed that pilot ladders remain the leading source of non-compliant observations. IMPA's latest safety campaign highlighted that 9% of non-compliant pilot ladders were not secured to a strongpoint. Held between the 1st and 15th October every year, the 2024 survey stated that no significant change to historic non-compliance trends. This year it was supported for the first time by a native application, which it is anticipated will help more maritime pilots actively participate in the future. IMPA also said retrieval line rigging and pilot ladder serviceability remain weaknesses. In regard to non-compliance by types of defect, the survey showed a total of 531 non-compliant reports, with 85% of defects were not reported to the appropriate authorities, including not limited to port state control. You can read the survey results at impahq.org. Next, luxury yacht maker Sunseeker International Limited has been fined for breaches of timber laws. The Poole-based company has been fined £240,000 after pleading guilty to breaches of laws aimed at tackling illegal logging of timber worldwide. Sunseeker was charged and subsequently pleaded guilty to a number of breaches of the UK timber regulations, marking the first prosecution under the legislation that replaced the EU timber regulation after Brexit. These included failures of due diligence and record-keeping regarding imports it made of timber products into the UK in 2021 and 2022, including teak from Myanmar, wenge from Africa, and European oak. The UK timber regulations place obligations on businesses trading in timber and timber-related products in order to tackle illegal logging and protect forests around the world. At the sentencing at Bournemouth Crown Court in the UK, the judge also made a confiscation order in the sum of £66,950.64 against Sunseeker and awarded prosecution costs of £51,619. Next up, the Canal and River Trust Boater Report 2024 is reported by the Trust. Our Boater Report gives an overview of how we generated income and our expenditure during 2023-24 to maintain navigation on our amazing heritage network of over 10,000 individual structures including locks, bridges, aqueducts and reservoirs, many up to 250 years old. It was a year of near-record spend on charitable activity, but one that saw the continued effect of climate change taking its toll on our aging canal infrastructure. In 2023-24 we spent close to £49 million on around 80 large maintenance and repair projects, and our skilled teams of carpenters, stonemasons and bricklayers completed further construction projects, at a cost of around £20 million. Dealing with emergencies from leaks in embankments and waterway walls, storm damage, flooding and blue-green algae, to bridge strikes by road vehicles, vandalism, fly tipping and pollution incidents, read how we're dealing with some of the dozens of emergencies across our network every week. The impact of climate change. Our changing climate continued to have a massive impact on our waterways. The succession of named storms wreaked havoc on our network. Thousands of trees were blown down, towpaths were washed away, banks and culverts collapsed, and landslides occurred. A breach on the Leeds and Liverpool Canal at Bursker in Lancashire cost over £270,000 to repair. In Leicester, the river saw breached several times at Blue Bank Lock, eroding the towpath and pushing the pilings over. The eastern end of the Kennet and Avon Canal was closed for several months due to extremely high water levels, widespread damage to towpaths, banks and lock walls, and extensive silt deposits. There were two major landslips on the Worcester and Birmingham Canal, on the embankment at the northern portal of Dunhamstead Tunnel, and just south of Shortwood Tunnel. There was also a major slip in the cutting at Easenhall on the Oxford Canal, requiring over 4,000 cubic metres of material to be cleared, and costing over £1 million to resolve. You can download the report through our website. Next, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has released its updated Surveyor Accreditation Guidance Manual Part 2. This manual outlines the standards and criteria required for the survey of domestic commercial vessels by accredited marine surveyors and recognised organisations, ensuring that accredited marine surveyors and recognised organisations adhere to consistent practices. Key changes include the introduction of updated technical standards to improve survey accuracy, enhanced safety protocols to ensure the highest level of vessel safety, revised operational criteria to streamline survey processes and increase efficiency. Surveyors and organizations are encouraged to review the manual thoroughly to ensure compliance with the latest standards and practices. The new version went into effect on the 1st of January this year. You can read the updated manual at amsa.gov.au. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.